Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Mortal and Strong, the podcast. I'm Dr. Liz Murray, founder of this project, where each episode we will be sharing one interview from one of the voices from our project. Presented by myself and Laura Middleton Hughes, each episode will feature one voice, someone sharing their story of overcoming major medical problems early on in life to share a message of strength, hope, and resilience to others. To learn more about the project, please visit our website, www.mortalandstrong.com. And now for the latest episode.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Mortal and Strong. I'm Laura.
And I'm Liz.
And today we are joined on the sofa by the wonderful Camilla. And Camilla is talking to us today all about her journey with endometriosis from a very young girl up until still waiting for a diagnosis. But also we do touch on topics around miscarriage and also her amazing book that she's been writing all about her journey. So welcome, Camilla. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Right. So we are going to do our quick fire round with you to get to know you a little bit better.
I love these. Okay. I need to keep my mouth shut.
The questions either. Okay, so Easter or Christmas?
Christmas.
Boots or sandals?
Boots.
Beach or pool?
Beach.
Ketchup or mayo?
Mayo.
Early up or late up?
I don't know if I should pick the one that I want or the one that I do. I want the later.
Later, okay.
There's not one yet.
A crepe or a pancake?
Ooh, crepe.
Horror movie or a comedy?
Comedy.
Mm. And tea or coffee?
Tea.
Right, there we go. Got to know you a little bit better.
Thank you. It's like tick, tick, tick. Yeah.
We can be best friends now.
Perfect. So we're going to start by going back to prior to your illness or your diagnosis. And where were you in your life at that point? How old were you? What were you doing?
It's kind of difficult to say because I actually think, having looked at what I've got and what's going on, I actually think my story started back when I first got my period at 11. Wow. I think the signs were there.
Yep.
Because from the minute I got them, they were clockwork, which was great. You could predict when they were coming, but they were so heavy. I was blooding through everything. Wow. I was taking weeks off school. I was white as a ghost.
Yep. Did you find that you could talk to your friends about this?
No.
And what happened was the rumours started flying around what did they say? Camilla's on the blob. That's why she keeps having all the time off school. And it was almost shaming me. I was terrified. And I remember one day, it was a horrible experience. We were going from our science lesson to the library, I think. And you know how they push the doors open and everyone holds the door and carries on for the next person. And I put my hand on the door, and the boy behind me goes, "Oh, Camilla's left a blood print on the door." Horrible. And I didn't even have a period then. Like, I was at school, so I didn't have a problem. But I used to get sent home from school because I was feeling dizzy and faint. but I just felt so ashamed of it. They tried me on tranexamic acid, mm-hmm. which did absolutely nothing. They did note that I was very, very pale. Maybe, like honestly, white was my colour. They did say maybe we should test you for anemia, and then they just didn't. So they just kind of left me, and I was a very sheltered, very quiet child, very different to who I am now.
Did you think it was normal?
Well, my mum didn't say that it wasn't, and I think that's because now I know that both my mum and my nan have also had very heavy periods. Oh. So they just thought
that is what it is.
And I almost wonder, having spoken to her in more detail, my mum, I think maybe they could have had endo, but they just didn't diagnose it at the time.
Yeah. And we've said before on the interviews that back then, sex education at school was terrible. Here's a sanitary pad, here's a tampon.
You should bleed this much, you should bleed every month.
A cup full of blood and then off you go. There was no education of what's normal, what's abnormal.
Because at school they were all making me feel like I was just this disgusting person who was always on the blob and not well enough to be at school. And I knew that I was flooding through, you know, I'd wake up in the morning, we'd have to strip my bed and all this kind of stuff. So when they offered me the pill, I think finally it was at 17. I'd started my periods at 11 and just lived with
it. And they're not offered you anything until that point.
No, they gave me tranexamic acid and I'd said it didn't help. So they offered me nothing else, didn't investigate, offered me the pill and I said, okay. I didn't know any better. I then didn't think anything of it. I just carried on with my life. And what happened was, I think it was end of 2019, I'd been having migraines. And then when I went for a pill check, and they're asking me, and they said, have you got migraines? And they said, no, you can't have that anymore. Gosh. So I was then suddenly left. And I thought, well, I'm going to see what happens because I don't know what my periods are like. I've spent all of my 20s on the pill.
My heart's sinking because I know this is exactly what happened to me.
And what happened was over this. So that was end of 2019. And over the time, it just got worse and worse and worse. It started to get more and more heavy, more and more debilitating. It wasn't painful. It was just getting heavier and heavier and more clots. And I started to think, I don't know if this is normal.
Did you struggle with actually taking it to the medical professionals because you'd been dismissed?
I just didn't know it wasn't normal. I just thought people have different flows. You know, you go in the shop and you see all of the different products and you've got regular and light and you've got heavy and super heavy. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I'm just super heavy
all the time, yeah.
Like, maybe that's just who I am.
Yeah, what is heavy?
Don't know.
Is heavy wearing three pads, like a nappy and two towels under you? Or is heavy having to change it once every hour?
Exactly.
It's not taught.
I didn't even know. I really didn't know.
The bigger pads,
you just do.
But when to worry about that?
I had no idea. And so I didn't really think about it. I just sort of thought, oh, I have to live with this. Mm. And, you know, me and my husband, we were trying to conceive, not from when I stopped the pill, we sort of had a year or two and we thought, actually, yeah, we do want to do this.
At this point, how old were you?
We started when I was 31, I think.
Okay. 3 years ago?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. It's coming up to three. Okay. but in that time, obviously, it got progressively worse. And I just thought, oh, well, maybe I don't need to worry too much because if we are trying to start a family, then I'll be pregnant, I won't be having the periods. Maybe it'll settle, like, my hormones or something.
And at this point, you still didn't know that what would eventually become endometriosis. You had no idea.
No, it's not a word that had even crossed my mind. Yeah. I just thought, maybe it's a family thing.
20 years of living with that is a long time without having kind of answers, like you say. And I think it's people like yourself coming forward today and talking about it will hopefully get the younger generation thinking, because actually this was, I didn't even know until quite recently what endometriosis was. No. And also, like say, the amount of people that have had problems with their periods or conceiving.
Yes.
And it's something that until it is spoken about and opened up the conversation, you feel quite alone because you feel like you're the only one going through that.
Yeah.
But actually, women in general, most women I know that have had pregnancy have had problems either conceiving or they've had losses. And it's more common than you think, and it's because people don't talk or haven't spoken.
Well, yeah, I didn't even know that it's not easy to get pregnant, because at school you get taught literally a boy's gonna look at you and it'll happen. So yeah, the fact that it was
share a toilet seat, don't share a toilet seat. Yeah,
but it was
something
it was really weird though, because obviously my endometriosis, how it's kind of come to a head, was really rapid since last summer. And I ended up in A&E a couple of times. And the second time I ended up in A&E, they sent gynecologists down to me, who obviously saw that I'd had a full abdominal ultrasound and I'd had loads of blood tests, and they'd looked at my CA125 marker mm-hmm. and been tracking that and a bit worried and blah, blah. And then so the gynecologists are like, okay, let's have a bigger discussion about, obviously you've got this really severe pelvic pain, but we need to ask you some other questions. And it was only in that conversation, and that was at the beginning of September last year, and they're asking, what are your periods like? What is your family's, you know, periods like? Do you have pain during sex? Do you bleed after sex? Do you bleed between your periods? And I'm sitting there thinking,
yes.
Yeah, but I didn't know that wasn't normal. Yeah. And I'm sitting there thinking, what is this leading to? And then they're saying, they said to me, we'd like you to go back to your doctors, get a referral urgently to us, because we're thinking along the lines of endometriosis. And that was the first time in relation to myself that I'd heard the word.
Did you know what it was?
No, I had no idea.
And did they explain to you at that point what it was? Or did you then have to go and Google it?
But what it actually was, I didn't really know. So I went home, typing on Google, and thinking, oh my God, what is this? Yeah, what do I do with that?
But did you feel a little bit relieved that you maybe had a reason?
Yes, because what had happened was I'd had, so my symptoms, obviously having heavier periods, had just been progressively getting worse. And then I had a miscarriage last May, and it was almost like my body just went haywire afterwards. I didn't really recover.
Was this your first pregnancy? Yes. So you took a while to conceive to that point?
Yes. And then what happened was, I'd had my period at the beginning of August, and it finished on like the Friday, gone to bed, not thought anything of it. And then at 4:30 a.m. in the morning, I woke up in the most excruciating pain of my life. I've never, like, I have a fairly high tolerance for pain, I think, and I'd never known anything like that. And I laid there, and my husband was just there. I couldn't reach him. It was down here really, really low. And it started on the right-hand side and started to go across. And I was writhing in the bed, but couldn't say, I couldn't speak to him. I couldn't say, I need help.
It wins you, doesn't it?
And I really wanted to say, I think I need an ambulance or something. Something is really not right here. And I couldn't speak, couldn't reach him. And I just laid there, and eventually he got up, you know, it was the morning, and he had to go to work. And we have our two dogs, and I managed to somehow, I was like crawling along basically downstairs to feed the dogs. I collapsed on the sofa and laid curled up in a ball, and he went off to work because he had to leave by like 8:30. And I just was sobbing, like, I don't know what to do. And I rung 111. And they said, you know, come in and we'll see you. And they said, oh, we'd like you to go back to your doctors tomorrow, because we're not going to admit you because you're not vomiting. You don't have a fever. I'm like, okay, fine. She said to me, go on your way home, get some cocodamol and ibuprofen and take max dose. And so I was just completely wiped out. Managed to get to the doctors the next day, who then sent me up to the hospital. Went to the hospital, had like a million blood tests, urine tests, and they said, can you come back tomorrow for an ultrasound, like a full abdominal, which they were thinking maybe it's like appendicitis. One of the doctors said, but you don't look ill enough to have appendicitis.
So does it mean there's not pain? And does it mean there's not something going on?
I'd expect you to be there
are other things
unwell looking if you had appendicitis. So come back tomorrow, have this abdominal, which everything looked absolutely normal. They couldn't see anything.
It will.
Because they checked literally all of the organs. And I then had to go to the surgical assessment unit, and they said, we think you had an ovarian torsion that has self-resolved. And I'm sitting there like, I don't even know what that is.
So what is it?
It's a twisted ovary. Right. It's an ovary that is just...
So the cord...
It's twisted itself.
Turns.
And apparently it's not very common for them to self-resolve. They actually are really dangerous and need surgery to correct. And I'm thinking, I had to go learn this on Google, and I'm sitting there reading, thinking, oh, I think I've had a lucky escape there.
So the pain disappeared?
Yes, they gave me all they gave me hospital grade painkillers and said, go home and really be careful and really rest.
Because it could do it again.
Yes, exactly.
And if it strangulates, it becomes ischemic, so the blood's not going to it.
So therefore,
and it can burst or it can cause so many problems.
Yeah, gosh.
So I was absolutely terrified.
It's a medical emergency.
Yes, that's what they're saying. And I said, I'd been taking all these painkillers and stuff, and they said, it really doesn't matter how many painkillers you've taken, that pain will cut through all of it because it is a medical emergency. If it happens again, do not stop. Do not collect £200. Go straight to the hospital. I'm like, okay, fine. So I literally spent the entire August just exhausted. I was laying on the sofa not doing a lot because they said, be really gentle. And I started to get my energy back towards the end of the August last year. Started to feel like, oh, I can go out again and do stuff. And then I had my next period at the beginning of September, which was not great, but the pain wasn't bad enough for me to say, oh, I need help. It was just my what I call manageable pain. It was acceptable to me, and then that finished, and then a couple of days later I woke up again in the middle of the night with this pain, and I ended up in A&E again, and this is when the gynecologist came in and said, we'd like to see you. So obviously I had to go for the referral, and I said, because obviously then speaking to my doctor, he's like, we're going to priority refer you to gynecology. I'm like, okay, what do I do in the meantime? I'm like, I've got this pain and it's debilitating, like my entire life, all of my work, everything has stopped, what do I do? And he said, well, if the pain gets really bad, come back to the doctors and we'll give you some painkillers. And I was like, and what else? what now? And he said, well, I can offer you the progesterone only pill because you can't have the other type because you have migraines, but you can have the progesterone only. Or go get pregnant.
Oh, my God. The amount of times.
Why the doctors think... So, yes, pregnancy sometimes, and that's the other issue, sometimes relieves endometriosis symptoms. There's no guarantee. You also can get complications. And it's really bloody difficult to get pregnant when you've got endometriosis.
We'd
already been trying just over 2 years. So I said to him, we're already trying. So he said, well, you might want to consider starting your fertility. He was like, come and start having your fertility tests. Okay. So I was like, okay, fine. That felt like, okay, maybe I'm doing something. And I was just thinking, that's not enough. I can't keep having this pain. Like, I get one good week, maybe two good weeks of the month where I feel okay, not well enough to do work. I mean, I work from home, and, me and my business partner, we do coaching and stuff. So she was really good. And she said, just rest. It's fine. Yeah. I've got this. You don't have to worry. But not everyone's that lucky.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, what do I do with this? This is ridiculous. So I went and was looking at alternative therapies because I just thought, if the doctors are just going to offer me painkillers, pill or pregnancy, that's not helpful. So I went to start Bowen technique. I'd used it before for a whiplash back injury from a car accident, and it'd been really, really good. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to just try it. And I saw that person, had the Bowen therapy every single week for 5 weeks because she wanted to capture a whole cycle.
Right, okay.
It's like a gentle rolling movements on the body that I think it hits like meridian acupressure points and stuff. It's really kind of massage, but it's very intentional. Yes. And so you just lay on the bed. I mean, I've had like osteopathy before and it's nothing like that. It's very, very gentle. You just lay there, they do these different movements, and I started to feel some relief. I had my next period and I didn't have that pain. I didn't end up in A&E, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And I also started going to see a homeopath because I thought, try as many different things. No, exactly. So I literally was just desperate. I didn't want to end up in A&E again. Because what then happened is in December, I did have a really bad, in the middle of my period, because it had been before that, it had been after. Okay. So a few, like 48 hours after, I'd get this really bad pain. And then in December, I had a really, really bad day. It was 5.5 hours of 9 out of 10 pain. I think I was delirious for most of it. And I went to the doctors. I mean, I have to admit, up until this point, all the doctors had taken me really, really seriously. They've been really good. And because they'd looked on my records and said, you never come to the doctors. And I'm like, yeah, I wonder why. No one listens to me. I never bother. And they're like, you know, you never come. So we're going to take this seriously. They've done all the tests and stuff. And I went this day. I didn't get an appointment until like 3 or 4 o'clock in the day. So I literally spent the whole day on the sofa just like, oh my God, I don't even know my own name. I'm in so much pain. And I sat there and she said, well, you tick all the boxes for endometriosis.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
But endometriosis doesn't rate as a 9 out of 10 pain.
Shut the door.
And
no.
I sat there and I didn't know what to say.
Goodness.
And she said, so I'm wondering if maybe it could be your gallbladder. Would you like to go up to A&E and we can start testing your gallbladder?
Are you joking?
Yeah, I wish I was.
Sweet. Lord.
I wish I was joking. And I sat there and I said, I didn't know what to, I sat there.
But this is where this is sadly where
the lack of education
don't understand, because actually many medical, you know, people will maybe have, they haven't experienced themselves, their friends and family might not have it. So therefore their only experience is from textbooks.
Yeah.
You can't not diagnose something based on weird opinion like that.
I didn't know what to do. So I sat there and she's saying, I could send you up to A&E right now and we could start looking at your gallbladder, because based on your age and everything, it could be that. And I said,
no.
But I've had all of these other tests, you know, they've been looking at my CA125 marker, which is an ovarian marker. Mm-hmm. I'm now on the waiting list for a diagnostic laparoscopy.
So still not had that yet.
No, I've got an 80 week wait. I've been told.
So you're not actually never been actually fully diagnosed with it.
I saw the consultant, that was in November, and it was actually a really good experience, because I went in there and I was nearly in tears and I'd all kind of psyched myself up thinking I'm going to have to fight for this. Mm. And I sat down and he said, I've read your notes. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you what? You've read my notes? I don't have to tell my life story, because I've got so used to telling this story. You have to start from the beginning and you have to blow up.
I think I know who.
Exactly. So I'm like, oh my gosh, you've read my notes. That's amazing. And I'm sitting there like,
I've been seen. You see me.
And he goes, I've got some quick fire questions for you, because they clearly weren't on the notes.
Not as good.
But he was basically like, you know, do you experience pain during sex? Do you bleed after sex? And I'm like, yes. And he goes, okay, well, I think based on everything I've seen, because you've had a full abdominal ultrasound, there's nothing with any other organs that I can see being a problem.
Okay.
My gallbladder's okay. The only thing they could find of note was I have an accessory spleen, a splenunculus.
Oh, an extra spleen.
Yeah. That was it. But, you know.
Hey, did you think her gallbladder was okay?
My gallbladder was fine. Okay. Kidneys, fine. Liver, all of those. And he said, I think it's endometriosis, so I'd like you to go on the waiting list for the diagnostic laparoscopy. if we can find that it's not too bad, maybe we could treat it with the laser while we're there. Here's a consent form to go on the waiting list. And I sat there and I burst into tears. The nurse was like, what's going on? Are you okay? And I just said, I'm just so overwhelmed because I really thought I was going to have to come in here and fight for this. And he wasn't even the doctor, the consultant I was supposed to see. The one I was supposed to see wasn't there that day.
So there are a few places in the country that are centre of excellences for endometriosis. Yeah. And we're fortunate in Norfolk that we live near one. But with that comes ridiculous waiting list.
That was a really empowering moment. I came out of there, I literally was 5 minutes, and my husband was waiting for me. And obviously they walked me off and they said, we're going to do like the pre-op, like weigh you and check your blood pressure, get you to sign this, fill out this form, whatever. So he's sort of sitting there like, oh my God, is she okay? Because there I am in tears. But when I came out, because it was all over and done with so quickly, and I just thought, oh, I don't have to fight for this anymore. I'm almost 99, 100% sure of my answer. Because having gone from, oh, you might have an ovarian torsion, what the heck is that? What is wrong with me? And then suddenly they're like, this is what we think, this is what we're going to do. And I know other people, I've got friends who are still fighting years and years.
Just to get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a friend who they won't listen to her when she says it's gynecological related. They think it's her digestive system being a problem.
See, this is, and I was going to ask you about bowel symptoms, because one of the things with endometriosis and like speaking to people applying for this, so many women get told they've got IBS.
Yes, I did it at school.
Yep, because when the endo bleeds and affects the bowel, it causes diarrhea, bowel cramps, bloating, constipation. And then it turns out it's actually the endo.
I did, when I was at school, I did go to the doctors a few times with digestive issues and they said, oh, it's IBS, go away, basically. We're not going to help you with that. So I didn't really bother talking to them. I have to say, it's not my worst symptom at the moment. One of my worst symptoms, and this is one that a lot of people have a clear definition when I say that this is what I experience. They're like, are you sure you haven't? I get night sweats.
Okay.
Really? Like, honestly, I need to change pyjamas sometimes in the middle of the night. I am just drenched. Yeah. And the minute I say that to anyone, they go, are you sure you're not in early menopause?
Oh, that's another thing just to throw in.
And you just think, I didn't even know it was a thing, because I actually thought to myself, maybe I'm in early menopause when I started to sweat like this, absolutely drenched in it last year. So I Googled it and I typed in, can night sweats be an endometriosis symptom? And it's like, yeah, it's not commonly written down as one, but yes, it's not just a gynecological period disease. It's a whole body thing. It affects your whole system. And trying to tell everyone that I know, because they're all like, are you better yet? Are you feeling better? And I'm like,
it's not going to go away.
It's not going to change. I have to say, I've been quite stark with the detail I've gone into when I see people, like, you know, I've met up with my godmother and she wanted an update, and I don't hold back. I'm like, yeah, I've had to have all of these blood tests and they think it's this and that. And you can see, I mean, I remember sitting in a cafe and I was updating my godmother, going into real, real detail, bearing it all. And I could almost feel the people behind me on the next table cringing, like, oh my God, how is she saying all that stuff out loud?
We need to normalise what periods are and that they go wrong.
The idea that actually it's not okay to be that heavy. I mean, it's come out recently that they've only just started to test period products with actual period blood.
That's insane.
And you just think, how can they measure, when you go in the shop and you buy sanitary products, how can they measure how heavy your flow is when they've not actually tested it properly?
No wonder they leaked all the time.
Yeah,
and
you just think, there's for me a real empowerment in kind of claiming my voice around that, because I was so sheltered, because I felt so ashamed when I was young. And, you know,
that's the irony, weird, and the full turnaround, that you were bullied as a child for your periods, and now you've become a voice.
Yes.
You tell us about the writing that you're doing, the books you've published.
So I wanted to be a writer when I was little, and I had an incident with, I showed a relative a piece of my work that I was super proud of, And they basically made a comment that made me feel like good enough. I can tell you about it. It was called The Princess and the Orb. I'd done A4 pages, 12 of them, and I'd done the illustrations, handed it over, and he looked at it, he goes, oh, well, it's not going to be Lord of the Rings, is it? Well, I loved The Hobbit. I was about 8.
Oh, my God!
I loved The Hobbit, and I thought, oh, so if I'm not going to be as good as my favourite author, then I'm just not going to try. So I didn't write, and I actually...
I want to hug your 8-year-old self!
And you just think,
what you wrote her. At that age,
yeah. Well, yeah, I couldn't stop myself. I was always writing poetry. I still have a couple of them because I deleted and threw away and all the printouts, everything, got rid of everything.
What, because of that comment?
Yeah, there's a couple that I've got.
Does the person know that?
No, he doesn't know yet. I haven't seen him for years. Okay. One day I will tell
him. But it's careful with your words.
Yes, you don't realise how it impacts people.
And it literally changed the course of your life.
Because I thought I was dreaming of being a writer and then just shut that possibility down. But because I knew I was a storyteller, I was like, I need to stay around books. So I went into designing books, publishing books. And what happened is, and it was about the same time I came off the pill, like 2019, I got all these authors coming to me saying, really want to work with you, but I'm stuck writing my book. I need help with the writing. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I can't write anything. What am I going to do? How am I going to help you? So I went and got a coaching qualification to be able to, I thought, you know, I can coach them through it, it'll be fine. And then I thought, I could maybe coach myself. I've been on an emotional healing journey over the last few years. You know, I've got holistic tools. And
you did have that passion for writing.
Yeah, and I had these tools I didn't have way back then. Maybe I can, because everyone was like, why aren't you writing anything? Yeah. You totally should write, you've got a way with words, do something with that. So I thought, okay. I'll coach myself through it, see what I can change my limiting beliefs and all that kind of stuff. And this memory of this relative came back to me and it hit me like a gut punch. And it was so raw. And I cried like the 8-year-old at the time. And I thought, I never want anyone else to feel like that. I never want anyone else to feel like their words are not good enough, that they have nothing to say. So I was on a mission, and obviously I was helping other people speak their truth. But for me, I thought, I'm going to write. I just need to process this, get it out of me. So everything that was happening to me, I was just writing about, and I wasn't telling anyone.
Sort of like a diary, in a way?
Kind of, yeah. It started off as just free writing, and then it started to move into poetry and all of that kind of stuff. And I just was doing it for myself. And it was a couple of years ago, I think, a friend found out that I write poetry and they said, why haven't we seen any of this? And I thought, well, why indeed? And they dared me. They said, I challenge you, share a poem a day on social media for a week.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. And I'm sort of shitting myself a little bit. The idea, like, oh no, this isn't going to be good. And it took me ages. I was rifling through, like, which are the least objectionable poems that I feel okay about sharing? And the response was incredible.
People, so this was just on what, Instagram, Facebook?
It was just on my personal Facebook page. Wow. I didn't share it like publicly. It was just the people who I'm friends with. And the response was, oh my God, your words really are speaking to me. I really resonate.
Did that validate the comment that was made prior? Because I think we hold on to the negative comments much more than the positives. But did it slightly push it back the other way?
It suddenly made me thought, oh, I have something valuable to say. Yeah. I have something to share. So I thought to myself, I'm going to help other people with this, because I'd been on this healing journey. I'd worked through a lot of emotional stuff over the last few years. And I started to write about that journey. And I actually turned it into a book that I published last year about embracing the divine feminine. And it was really about taking your power back as a woman, really embracing who you are. I did some fantastic takedowns of the patriarchy, I must say. It's called Unraveling Inwards, A Journey of Embracing the Divine Feminine. So it's sort of spiritual, emotional journey. And it hasn't come out yet, but it's going to come out in the next few months. I wrote the poetry that I wrote during all of my own healing that follows that journey. I've putting into a book as well that I'm going to put out called Soul Threads.
I've seen a few bits.
Yes.
I'm going to have to find
I should have brought some copies. Sorry. I'll send you some copies. But what also happened is I'd written about that personal journey. So when all of this stuff started to happen and I felt out of control, I had no idea. The doctors in August had no idea what was wrong with me. They said it's an ovarian torsion. And I'm like, I'm just terrified. Because I had been very scared of going to the doctors for many years. Because over the years when I was younger, I'd been for things and they hadn't listened to me. Not to do with gynecological.
Like, you know, your situation with the book and being kind of told it's not good enough.
Yes.
You probably have a very similar sort of picture of the doctors because you almost felt that you're not validated enough in that sense. So again, it's sort of all quite interlinking.
I'd had and they weren't related to like periods or anything, but I'd had other experiences at the doctors that made me feel, oh, they're not listening to me, they're not taking this seriously. I mean, I had sinus problems as a child and was once told by a doctor when I was about, I don't know, 12, 13, to move out of Norfolk.
No,
that will solve my problem.
Because of the pollen.
Yeah.
I love that.
Move. I'm 13. And move out of Norfolk. Because I felt so out of control, I thought I'm going to have to write about this for myself, not for anyone else. I just need to process this. And then I had this miscarriage last year.
Can we just go on that a little bit? Yeah. In terms of that, you obviously were trying to get pregnant.
Yes.
Because you wanted a child, but then someone else has thrown in and added this emotional pressure. Yeah. But it would also
solve my problems.
It will help. You've now got this, you want a child, but in the back of your mind,
suddenly
thinking,
it's also a medical necessity. Yeah. It's a medical treatment. I had lots of early signs. I was feeling, I'd spent every single day feeling very, very sick. And I was about 2 weeks late with my period. So I was about to do a test. And the day that I was doing the test, I started to bleed. And honestly, I've never, ever seen anything like that. I mean, there's a piece of me that didn't get the validation of a positive result, but I have never seen anything like that. Yeah. That wasn't a normal period.
You don't forget, do you?
What I saw there, I'm just like, that wasn't period. And I just felt so alone. I didn't know anyone who'd experienced this. It wasn't something we talked about. I hadn't got any friends. Some of my friends that they didn't even have children. They hadn't even tried. They didn't want them. So the first thing I did was I went on Mumsnet. I'd never had an account on Mumsnet, but it was just, I need to find someone who feels like this. I need to know I'm not alone because I didn't know what to do.
They do say, what, 1 in 4?
Yeah, and I didn't even know that at the time.
But that, I think because, again, we're in this such taboo land that you can't even tell someone you're pregnant to 12 weeks because you might miscarry.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why not? You want to know.
Yeah. Like, if you do lose it, you want that support.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to hide it.
Told one person, you think, I've just miscarried. Is it because I've told someone?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it becomes taboo in a way that it really shouldn't.
Yeah.
You have to just get on with it.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know what to do. I was so upset. I spent this whole weekend on the sofa, in pain, bleeding, just sobbing. And I started to read on Mumsnet just other people who'd experienced this. And I thought it started to make me feel less alone, less crazy, like actually, this was real. And I thought, well, if that makes me feel better reading their stories, maybe someone needs to hear what I have to say as well. So I looked at, because I'd been writing just to process the pain. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to put this out there. So I'm still working on that, but yeah, I fully intend to put a collection out there because people need to know that these things aren't normal, but it's okay to feel how you feel.
And you used a word before we started filming, and I was instantly like, don't use that word. You said it was an early miscarriage, as if to kind of dismiss. Don't give me too much attention because it's not as significant as someone who's had a late miscarriage. Mm. And I instantly went, stop.
Yes, you did. No. You did. You pulled me up on that.
And a miscarriage is a miscarriage.
But that's the thing. We get shamed into thinking that, it was early.
And it's horrible because you get those symptoms. And then sometimes the symptoms last even after you've had the loss. And for a second, your brain goes, oh, I've got morning sickness. And you think, oh,
I'm so pregnant.
And then suddenly your brain goes, nope, it's gone. and you're constantly having that still feeling pregnant for a while. And
it was just such, it was a mind fuck really, because you just don't know whether you're coming or going. And because I never really, that happened in the May, then by the August, I've got all these other symptoms around my periods. I didn't get a chance to really recover physically, mentally, emotionally, any of it. It was really hard.
And if you did tell people about the miscarriage, did you find there were certain things that people said? There was a, I don't know about you, I found a few, and I think we were like, this is a good opportunity to just talk about some of those things to say and not to say with this.
A lot of people didn't know what to say. They were very taken aback, and also they wanted to focus on me not being ill. So in a way, I kind of, or me being ill. So there was almost like a me downplaying that side of the conversation. Okay, if you're not comfortable, let's talk about endo instead and all the crazy that's happening to me over there, because they just don't know what to say. It's like, oh, you can try again.
Oh, it'll happen.
It'll happen.
It'll happen.
It'll happen.
Or it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. There's for a reason. It'll happen when you least expect it. When you stop trying, it will happen.
Yeah, if you stop thinking about it, you're stressing way too much about it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my mum, I didn't even know this until after I'd had this miscarriage. She goes, oh, well, it took me years to, it took me ages to conceive you. And I'd stopped trying. She goes, I had a really bad month. I'd had like a car accident, all these kind of stuff. And I wasn't even thinking about getting pregnant. And then suddenly there you were. And you just think, why haven't we talked about that before? Because I'm then talking about it and I'm trying to be really open with people and going as far as, on the days that I feel uncomfortable, I only go as far as I feel comfortable. And then if it's, I'm looking at someone judging how far they're comfortable with me talking about it. So it's kind of a juggling act. But when I did mention it, suddenly all of these people were coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, me too. Yeah. It took me ages. Oh, I had several miscarriages.
And it doesn't have to be an upsetting conversation. It can be just a conversation because, as you say, if they haven't experienced it, they might. You know, they might go, and by you opening up, might mean when they miscarry in the future, if that happens, that they can talk to you about
but the worst part of it is the amount of people, and it doesn't matter if it's the miscarriage that I had or the endo or any of the other symptoms, the worst part of it is when people are like, oh, are you better yet? Or the worst one for me is, I know someone who's got that and this is what they've done.
Oh, thank
you. Good for them. And they say, I mean, like someone was saying, oh, my sister got diagnosed with endo in her 20s, so she went and had her kids really early. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm in my 30s.
And I'm not even diagnosed.
I'm not even fully diagnosed. I haven't got that, you know, scan to say this is what it is. I'm in the process still. Mm-hmm. And we're also trying to conceive. And it's almost like shaming me for...
Why haven't you done it sooner?
Yeah. Oh, it's your fault. You went on the pill all that time. You didn't try and investigate this stuff. You didn't try and have a child.
This is why people need to understand a lot more about it.
And there's so much misinformation.
One in four pregnancies don't make it. Whether that's...
Didn't know that either.
A 7-week pregnancy, 10 weeks, whatever.
25% of pregnancies. I was astounded when I found out that figure, because obviously I was reading everything to try and make sense of what was going on, and I found... I think it might have been Tommy's
charity. Loss,
yeah, and they had a big thing on the page that said, you know, one in four result in. I'm like,
But this is how
people
don't talk about it.
No.
Because you don't sit there around your friends and go, oh, who's had a miscarriage?
Yeah. Then when it happens, you're not prepared and you think you're really
It's not like a never have I ever game or who's had a miscarriage.
Never have I ever.
Just have
and another thing you said just the one. And again, doesn't matter whether you've had one.
No, that's true.
Oh,
but the thing is, you know, I see
it's still a
loss.
Well, yes, this is the thing. I see so much talk about you know, like postnatal depression and, you know, people who are pregnant who are having problems with their mental health during the process, but there's nothing talked about the mental toll of the infertility, trying to get pregnant, and then that whole loss piece, because we then don't talk about it. No one knows that you've got a problem.
Would you say to someone else, like, or your younger self, what you know now, is there any advice that you would sort of throw at them and give them?
Oh, that's hard.
That girl at school that was getting bullied, what does she need to hear?
I think she needed to hear that she needed to advocate, it was okay to advocate for herself, that something was wrong. that it was okay to stand up and be brave and say, you know what, this isn't normal, this isn't right, go get help.
We hear that so much, don't we?
Yeah, and it's like this is literally going to hopefully be heard by many people across the country or even the world, and there might be young girls hearing this, and you will literally be changing their lives.
I really hope so.
What you're doing, and with the fact that you've been able to turn it into something tangible, like a book that people can read and resonate with and relate with, you know, that's fantastic that you've been able to do that. And we're so grateful for you sharing your story with us, and we've got some ideas of turning that into some artwork or putting including it in the exhibition. So
because the thing is,
it's still art. It's,
I mean, I was bullied for other things at school, but to be bullied for your period, which is something you can't control it. They used to write notes about me saying that Camilla was on the blob. No. If it just helps one person, then it was worth
it,
you know?
It's just blood. It happens. Yeah.
And everyone's so terrified of it. But everyone is so, it's like, I think actually, because it is a really, it's not just blood. It is so powerful because it's representative of women being creators. Mm-hmm. We are portals to babies being born, life happening. So people are afraid of that because it's not just blood, it's got this power and this energy behind it.
Young boys are not taught that. They're taught that it's a disgusting thing that women get once a month.
Yes.
And you know, it's amazing hearing your story and what you've gone through. You know, you can see the strength in you. We can hear that in your voice, and that the fact you have done this advocating yourself.
The journey is beautiful. Like, it is such a lovely journey that you've gone through. In that the way you've come full circle and found yourself through it.
Yeah, I think that's what it is for me. It's that idea that I had my voice taken away from me for various reasons at a very young age. And it's been this, in the last few years, clawing back and saying, you know what, I'm going to shout about this from the rooftops. I don't care if you're uncomfortable. Everyone needs to know about it. And it's been really empowering for me. It's been almost what I'm meant to do.
Yeah.
Purpose,
yeah.
We're asking everyone this week before we wrap up, but what is one thing that you would say gets you up and out of bed in the morning and brings a smile to your face? Like, what brings you joy and strength?
In the last few months, I found it really, really hard to find any joy because my sofa has become my best friend because I spend so much time on it. And there's been several months where I thought to myself, I don't know if I have a life outside of this because I'm not getting enough help. I just feel ill all the time. I don't have the energy. So finding joy has been really, really hard. But interestingly, in 2021, I got burnt out in the summer through work, and I chose joy as my focus. I kept asking myself, where is the joy? And 2022, I used joy as my word of the year.
Oh,
so it's really ingrained in me of where is the joy. So I've been very, very aware that I haven't had any joy in the last few months. So it's become about the small things, like my dogs. They bring me a lot of joy.
We hear this.
They're always pleased to see you. They're great company. They keep me in a routine when it would be so very easy to just lay there.
Yeah.
They keep me getting outside, being active and walking, and I've got a purpose because I need to look after them. So they help, and also the writing.
Yeah.
Because once I'm just pouring it onto a page, there's like a relief, a release.
It's a purge, isn't it?
And then there's that putting it out there and someone reading those words and saying, oh my God, this has changed my life.
Yeah.
This has made a difference to me. This has resonated. I mean, my Unraveling Inwards book, I take people through the four phases of the feminine. So the maiden, the mother, Magga and Crone, those kind of life phases and the challenges we face, but not in a, you see a lot of gurus who have backgrounds of, oh, I had addiction, abuse, blah, blah, blah. I'm actually talking about the little things that still affect us, still are traumatic, you know, like bullying at school, etc. And someone actually wrote a review and they said they'd read this book. They like devoured it in a couple of days. And they said it had really helped them reframe their thoughts and change some things in their life. And it's just suddenly you think, that's the point. That's why we're doing this.
That's what gets you up then.
Yeah. It gets me up to think, actually, I can do something with this. I can help someone.
And honestly, by just hearing your speak, you will. You will change lives.
I hope so.
You'll make a difference.
It's actually been really, really nice to just talk about it and to talk about it with people who they're not making me feel bad about it. They're not making me feel like, oh, poor you. And you're also not asking me to have all the answers either, because you know you've had your own experiences. It's just nice to be able to sit there and have a conversation that's open rather than, oh, does this feel
There's
comfortable?
No topics off bounds here. It's
exactly. Are they feeling uncomfortable about it or anything? Is it weird? It's just nice to just
be real.
Talk. Yeah, be real. Amazing. Yeah, so thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Mortal and Strong podcast. If you want more information about today's voice or how to get support on any of the issues we've discussed today, please head to our website, www.mortalandstrong.com. And remember, click subscribe, find us on all social media platforms, and to find out ways of how to support what we are doing or more information on the project, head to our website. Thank you for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.